If you want proof that life begins in the womb, even with spiritual discernment, you got to think about John the Baptist. Because that day when Mary came into Elizabeth's home, we know that that infant in Elizabeth's womb, John the Baptist, leapt in her womb with joy. The Bible also says that he was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, and we're having wonderful time singing the praises of the Lord. O come, all ye faithful, and Mary had a baby. We look forward to your fellowship through the program here today, and we'll be preaching on John the Baptist preparing the way of the Lord. Just a little thought, though, on the name that was given to the Lord Jesus. His name would be Jesus, but also Emmanuel. Emmanuel meaning God with us, God in our very midst. And that's the mystery of grace, that the God of heaven would come down into this world, fallen, steeped in sin, and filled with sorrow. And yet the Lord Jesus was made to be the man of sorrows, and was made in our fashion, in our likeness, became our Redeemer by a perfect body, and went all the way to Calvary, that he may redeem us and purchase us from such a deep, deep state of sin. This is the miracle when we think that the baby Jesus would become Emmanuel, God with us. And he's with us to lift us out of the pit of sin, not to keep us there, not that we might begin to enjoy the world and sin, but that he might lift us out of it, that we would learn how to hate sin, and that we would be set apart from its ways. The Lord is with us to sanctify us, to give us a purity, and to purify our very thoughts and desires. What a mystery and what a miracle, that the Lord would purify his people and set us free from sin. And praise God, he will never leave us until that day when he will glorify us in heaven. He will present us before the Father without spot, without blemish, perfect in every way, acceptable unto God. Never doubt, never fear that you will get left behind, that you will be unsaved or unright with God, but rather that you will be presented perfectly before God through faith in Christ. So make sure you have your faith in Christ, and he will make sure you are there in glory. Stay tuned as we bring the messages and song, Mary Had a Baby.
Mary had a baby.
Jesus.
Oh,
King Jesus, mighty counselor, King Emmanuel, mighty God, everlasting Father,
Prince of Peace.
Mary had a
Now tonight we're coming to Matthew chapter 3, and we're coming to this man, John the Baptist. He is undoubtedly a scary figure, and if he were to enter into the church tonight and take a seat, I'm not sure that you would want to sit beside him, because he's a rough character, dressed in a leathern girdle and right out of the bush and out of the wilderness. He is not the typical man. If he invited you for lunch, I'm not sure you'd want to go, because he would have a diet of honey and locusts. He doesn't fit the normal type. But if you want proof that a man can have the well done of God, you need to think of John the Baptist. Jesus said, among them that are born among women, that there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. If you want proof that life begins in the womb, even with spiritual discernment, you got to think about John the Baptist. Because that day when Mary came into Elizabeth's home, we know that that infant in Elizabeth's womb, John the Baptist, leapt in her womb with joy. The Bible also says that he was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. That tells us that you can be born again without human agency. That the miracle of regeneration is the direct act of the work of God upon the spirit of man, and it can be without any instruments or means. If you want proof that someone can have spiritual discernment right from the womb, think of John the Baptist. He seems to have been one that was all out for God all the days of his life. And if you want proof that God can do a singular work in an individual, well, think of John the Baptist. He is said to be the last of the Old Testament prophets, and that he was the greatest of them. He had a very short ministry. He began very close to the ministry of the Lord Jesus, a short time prior to the Lord Jesus' baptism. And as you know, it wasn't very long until he ended up in prison and until he was beheaded. And yet he had a very profound and effective ministry. We're told in Matthew chapter 3, verse 5, that they went out to him, Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about, and were baptized of him. And so John the Baptist must have baptized multitudes of people unto the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Crowds of people submitted themselves to the baptism of John. Now, it was not an easy baptism. It wasn't just a matter of water. It was a baptism unto repentance, and it required a dramatic change of life. We also know that John was very humble. His classic statement is, I must decrease, but he must increase, or vice versa. And his work was to submit himself to the Lord Jesus and prepare the way of the Lord. Now tonight what I want us to do is to think of a Baptist, John the Baptist type ministry, that we might be a church, that we might be a people who truly prepare the way of the Lord. We're living in a generation of ungodliness, when few care, when few are interested in the things of God. And our task as a church is to be a light and to awaken men and women to their spiritual need. And so tonight we want to look at John the Baptist and see, what do we need as a church? What do we need as a people to have a ministry that will really prepare the way of the Lord, to somehow be that link to that soul in darkness and introduce them to the Lord Jesus, just like John the Baptist did that day when he pointed to Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Now, I have two main points I want us to look at tonight. Firstly, there's the manner of John the Baptist's ministry. As we've already alluded, he has some strange aspects about this man, the manner of John's ministry. And then I want us to look at the message of John the Baptist's ministry. And of course, we will see that there are some very outstanding facts concerning what he preached. The first thing about the manner of this man is that the Holy Spirit was upon him. He had truly a Holy Spirit anointed ministry. And if you turn to Luke 1 verse 15, you will read there that he was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Now, think of the prophecy that was given concerning this man, John the Baptist. Now, that prophecy is taken from Isaiah chapter 40. And Isaiah 40, by the way, is the beginning of the gospel section in Isaiah. Isaiah has 66 books. This seems to be a marvelous providence in the compilation and the chapter divisions of the book of Isaiah. 66 books in Isaiah equal to 66 books of the Bible. The 40th book is the book that would equate with the Gospels, beginning at Matthew. And in chapter 40, it says, comfort ye my people. And then it goes on to this prophecy of one who would come and prepare the way of the Lord, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. You'll see that in Matthew 3 and verse 3. For he that it was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Now, when we confer with John's gospel, and I'll not ask you to turn to all the passages, because John the Baptist is dealt with so thoroughly in so many of the four gospels, but he was asked, who art thou? And then the question was, art thou Elias? This is in John chapter 1. Art thou Elias? And then the next question was, art thou that prophet? Now you think of the stature of John the Baptist that prompted those questions. Who are you? Are you Elias? Are you Elijah come back from the dead? Or are you that prophet, meaning the Messiah? Such was the mighty stature of John the Baptist in his ministry that all these questions were asked about him. And we can truly say that he was a giant-like spiritual man when people were wondering who he was. And that's because he was a spirit-empowered man. He was a man who was anointed by the Spirit. And when he came forth to preach, there was definitely the power of God upon him. Now, think of what we need. As we think of being a witness for the Lord and preparing the way of the Lord, what is it that we need as a church? What is it that you and I need as witnesses for the Lord Jesus? We need the Spirit of God upon our lives. We're living in a day of very wimpy Christians, when men who have the best of knowledge, but they have no spiritual stamina, no courage to stand up and speak out for the Lord Jesus. Yes, this is an age of very puny men, and we have to confess our own weakness when we stand up before the world, that we find it very intimidating to stand up and speak for the Lord. But John the Baptist was a man who had the anointing of the Spirit, and we need to begin praying for that. Now let me ask you tonight, I want to make this really personal. Are you praying for this in your life? Are you asking every day? This is something that a Christian should pray every day. Lord, I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit from head to toe. I need to be an anointed, spiritual man or woman for God. If we do not pray that prayer, we will never prepare the way of the Lord. And even when we do pray that prayer, we will find, Lord, I need more of your Spirit. And I'm thankful for the little strength. I'm thankful for the little opportunities and for those times that I could speak. But Lord, I need to be stronger, and I need a fresh anointing of the Spirit each and every day. The other thing I learned about John the Baptist, about the manner of the man, is that he had preparation by separation. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 5 to 7, you will see that the whole account of John the Baptist goes back one generation. It goes back to his father and mother, Zacharias and Elizabeth. And I'm going to read here from Luke 1, verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God, in the order of his course. Now you'll see the character of his parents. They were righteous. They were God-fearing. They were busy serving the Lord. And John the Baptist, when God was raising up this man, he chose Zacharias and Elizabeth to be his parents. And that godly example was in his life all the way through. And so we see him here right in these verses being prepared by these godly parents. And we have to go back a generation to see how God was working. And parents, let us take encouragement tonight that our insistence on godliness and separating from the world to be righteous and busy in God's service, that God will use that. That's a part of raising the next generation. And God will use that. And he will raise up his people to serve him. Now, not only that, we're told in Luke 1, verse 15, that he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And so there was a separation applied to John the Baptist's life that his parents had to fulfill. They had to see to this, and God would send his Spirit upon him. And then in verse 80, the very last verse in Luke chapter 1, it says, the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. Now, how did they raise him? You can see, obviously, that he was sheltered from city life. He was sheltered from the crowds. He was sheltered from the world. And the godly influence of Zacharias and Elizabeth was brought to bear upon his young life. And there in that wilderness, he grew and waxed strong. He was an eater of honey and locusts. He was unworldly. Unworldly. Isn't that a lesson for us here tonight? If we want to be men and women of power for God, we have to learn the lesson of separation. Now, it's going to apply differently in all our cases. I'm not advocating that we're going to raise our children on locusts and honey. I'm not advocating that we get out of the world and get into some wilderness situation and follow that exact pattern. But I think there's a great principle here, that there is a preparation by separation. And mother and father, we need to raise our children apart from the ways of this world. And young people, we need to guide you that you cannot be spiritual, strong, effective for God if you're going to follow the ways of the world. And yes, there's a choice to make. There's a decision to make. Am I going to be out and out for God, or am I going to go the way of the world? Now, many think they can do both, but you can't. You can't. Because the love of the world will keep you away from prayer. The love of the world will keep you away from the Bible. And even you spend time in the Bible and try to pray, when you've got the love of the world in your heart, you can't do it. Because the Spirit of God is grieved. And he will not minister to your heart. He will not bless you and strengthen you. There will not be, as there was in John the Baptist, waxing strong in the Lord. And so you need that tonight. And you need to learn that lesson of preparation by separation. The other thing I note about John the Baptist's manner is that he was a man fully in submission to the Lord Jesus. I think of that statement, he must increase, but I must decrease. You'll find that in John chapter 3 and verse 30. And that played out in John's life in a very dramatic way. It wasn't merely just a little cliche, because as you know, John stepped back and he handed over his ministry in a very real way to the Lord Jesus. He pointed his people to the Lord Jesus. When they came out for baptism, he pointed them to the Lord Jesus. And he said, it's not about me. I'm only the messenger of the Lord, and I'm sent to prepare the way. And he handed over his ministry to the Lord Jesus. Now, John insisted that he was not the Christ, but that he was come to prepare the way of the Lord. Now, we need that kind of humility, and we need that kind of submission. It's not about our honor. It is about exalting and ministering unto the Lord Jesus and giving him all the glory.
Come and ask.
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak Today. This is Ian Gollaher. In this Christmas season, this month of December, we want to bring messages that will lead you to consider the mighty event of Jesus coming into the world, the second person of the Trinity taking human form to become man, in all points to be tempted as man, yet without sin. And we know the miracle of the virgin birth leads to the supernatural life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I trust this month the Lord will bless you through our daily programs here on this station, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. For all the information concerning our church, our broadcast, our literature, our booklet, A New Beginning, you will find all of that on our website. Also, if you have maybe missed part of a program or want to hear it again, you can go to our website and listen to it in the audio form. So join us at our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca. That's www.cloverdalefpc.ca. And of course, we invite you to our church services. You can do that in person. We'd love to have you come and join with us as we worship the Lord. Or you can do that on your computer by webcast as you go to our website at 10:30 Sunday mornings, 6 p.m. Sunday evening. Hit the Live Now button on the homepage and you can join us to view and listen to our weekly services here at the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. Thank you for joining us today.